This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Anne Marie Slaughter is the dean of the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton University, a professor of politics and international affairs. She's on the board of the Council on Foreign Relations and is the 2007 recipient of the Thomas Jefferson Award for Excellence in the field of law. It is a distinguished honor of mine this afternoon to welcome to the program Dean Anne Marie Slaughter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us. I know you're very busy. We set up this interview so we could discuss your new book, The Idea That Is America, Keeping Faith with Our Values in a Dangerous World. And we want to talk about your book, but before we do, I just learned, talking with you on the phone now in the break, that you are a native of Charlottesville.
I am. It feels wonderful to be back home, at least virtually. I grew up on WINA and listening to exactly the same kind of songs that just introduced the program.
Wonderful.
My grandfather was the golf coach and the head of intramurals at the University of Virginia. Slaughter Hall, the wreck, is named for him.
Wonderful. That's fantastic. And you you went to school here? And
I went to St. Anne's. I went to St. Anne's Belfield all the way through and then went away for college. But my parents still live in town, and my brother and sister-in-law and nieces and aunts. So, whole tribe of Slaughters.
That's fantastic. Well, welcome back to Charlottesville via the phone and the airways. We're really excited to have you this afternoon. Tell us briefly first about the Woodrow Wilson School, if you can.
The Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs is an undergraduate major in the first place. It's a special major where Princeton undergraduates who are admitted can study international relations and public policy. And it's also a graduate school that offers a master's in public affairs, a two-year degree for graduate students who essentially want to make the world a better place and want to learn the economic and statistical and political skills to do that.
Fantastic. And your new book is The Idea That Is America, and we are going to be giving away a free copy of the book at the end of this interview to an interested listener. Tell us what was going on in your life and where you were when you knew, you know, this is a book I got to write.
Now, this was a book written from the heart, and the origins were really in 2005 after the Abu Ghraib scandal broke, and I was traveling abroad and around the country, and suddenly there were these horrible pictures, and people abroad were saying to me, you know, what's happened to your country? You no longer stand for the things you've always stood for. And people in this country, when I would travel to the Midwest or elsewhere in the South or in the West Coast, I would get questions from the audience saying, you know, what role should we be playing in the world? We seem to have lost our way. And that combination of a sense that Americans felt that they were unsure about what role we should play in the world and a strong sense that the rest of the world was no longer seeing the country I know and love led me to write the book.
Anne Marie Slaughter is dean of the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton University. Her new book is The Idea That Is America, Keeping Faith with Our Values in a Dangerous World. Your book goes chapter by chapter and discusses these key values which really make up the idea that is America. And tell us what those values are and why they're in the book.
Well, so the values are liberty, democracy, equality, and justice. And I always say that if you woke up a group of Americans in the middle of the night and said, quick, name me some American values, I think you'd get liberty and justice. That's the Pledge of Allegiance. And I hope you'd get equality from all men are created equal. And surely democracy would be somewhere. So those four, I think, are pretty standard. The remaining three are tolerance, humility, and faith. And they were chosen because tolerance is essential to having a democracy, and because I think humility and faith, both religious faith and what I call enlightenment faith, faith in progress and the ability to achieve universal values, are a deep part of America's character, even if they are not as frequently cited or celebrated as the first four. And really, in each chapter, the point was to go back to basics. I'm a good Charlottesville girl. You know, Mr. Jefferson is sort of alive and well. My notion was America does stand for a set of values in the world, but those values have become distorted in many ways, I think, by the policies of this administration and previous administrations. And we need to go back to how our greatest leaders, our founders, our presidents, our poets, our songwriters, our folk heroes have talked about these values and understood them, and regain that understanding to guide our foreign policy and how we act in the world.
My guest is Anne-Marie Slaughter, Dean of the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton University. Her book is The Idea That Is America. Let's explore some of these key American values. Democracy, for example.
So democracy is one, as I said, that anybody today would say, America, what does America promote in the world? You'd talk about democracy. But if you go back to the Federalist Papers, you read all the way through, you cannot find a single mention of democracy except for when James Madison is telling you that it won't work or why it won't work. And indeed, Alexander Hamilton says to the Constitutional Convention, you know, we are creating a government that will neither fall into the extremes of tyranny or the disaster of democracy. And that's because the founders thought of democracy as essentially the equivalent of mob rule. And what they wanted was they wanted government by the consent of the governed, absolutely. And we fought a revolution to guarantee government by the consent of the governed. But they wanted a government that was an accountable government and a government that was rights regarding, that safeguarded the rights of all individual citizens. And to that end, they created what they would have called a liberal republic, a government that had lots of checks and balances, that did not have one man, one vote. And remember, the Senate used to be selected by state legislatures. And, of course, state legislatures were carefully chosen by a very small segment of the electorate. And a government that, above all, was accountable through independent courts and various other mechanisms, and that had the Bill of Rights. So I write about our understanding of democracy, and my argument today is, of course we should stand for popular government around the world, but elections are only one small part of what our understanding of a liberal democracy is, and we should be paying just as much attention to how human rights and to mechanisms of accountability.
If you go into the third world and at the point of a gun create elections, that your point, I guess, is that you're not exactly creating democracy as the founders understood it.
No, quite the contrary. Indeed, the founders would have said, well, wait a minute, you know, before you can participate in an election, you surely have to demonstrate your commitment to being in the opposition if you get voted out, to respecting minority rights, to not overstepping your powers if you are the president or if you're an elected representative. And in today, we've somehow taken that complicated equation that our founders understood and wrote about and carefully crafted a system to represent. We've reduced that equation to free and fair elections one time, even though, as we have seen, those elections, if held too quickly and if held without the proper safeguards, can produce winners who are deeply anti-liberal democratic in the full sense that we understand it.
My guest is Anne-Marie Slaughter, Dean of the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton University, and her new book, a fantastic book, is The Idea That Is America, Keeping Faith with Our Values in a Dangerous World. You study this kind of stuff, so you know so much more about it than I do. But when you read the newspaper and you watch the news and you look out across the world at what's happening, is America sort of making all the mistakes that all the great empires have made before us?
In many ways, yes. I mean, we certainly have been guilty of hubris. And if you go back to the Greek myths, of course, you know, hubris is what happens to all people who get too big for their britches and who have too much power. And certainly other imperial powers have been guilty of hubris. And it's one reason I write about humility, because humility actually has played an important role in our past, and we need to recover it. But I do think America is different. I think the idea that America stands for a set of values, and they're really, I call them American values in talking about the book, but they're really universal values. You know, our founders deeply believed that all human beings were entitled to govern themselves and all human beings were equal. And they thought that America's glory was that we got to be the first nation to demonstrate that it was possible to have a system of government that reflected those values. But they didn't think it was going to be the only nation in the world to do that. And they didn't think we were better than other people. They thought we were blessed by destiny, that we had this chance. And even though we're in a very bad patch now, I think the fact that Americans believe that about ourselves, that that's our Constitution, that's our set of national myths and legends, means we're more easily correctable than other traditional imperial powers, that we can find our way back and we can recover the things about our country that have long inspired people from other countries.
And for those of us who think, Anne Marie Slaughter is my guest, for those of us who think that we are off track, the best thing we can do right now is to go back to those basic core principles and values which define us as a free people.
Absolutely. And we can decide for ourselves how those values have been interpreted, and we can hold our government to them. That's another big theme in the book, that it is not unpatriotic to call your government to account when you think it is not living up to the values it is supposed to reflect, and that indeed some of our greatest patriots, whether they have been, you know, whether they were abolitionists or activists for women's rights or people who had the courage to stand up for civil liberties in wartime, some of our greatest patriots have often been our government's most strident critics, and that's not treason. That's the soul of patriotism, and it's up to every American to decide, hey, you know, we stand for the rule of law. If the government is trampling the rule of law, then it is perfectly right. It's more than right. It is our duty as Americans to stand up and say so.
One of my most favorite of Jefferson quotes is somewhere where he wrote that a free government, a free society, is not founded in confidence, but in jealousy. That it is the duty of a citizen to be jealous of the power that is wielded by anybody in society, especially government, to be suspicious of your elected leaders, suspicious of their power, and to ask a whole lot of questions.
Absolutely. That's a great Jefferson quote. I didn't know that one, but that is right. Now, of course, in time of fear, in time of war, time after the 9/11 attack, it is natural for people to pull together and to suspend their normal skepticism because you feel under threat and you give at that point your leaders more license than you otherwise would. But even in those times, and I think certainly now, 6 years after 9/11 and in a time when we face a whole host of threats in the world, it's time for us to say, okay, you know, we gave our leaders that license, but they've gone off course in a number of places, and now it really is up to us to revert to that skeptical posture, that posture that cherishes the things that last beyond any one administration.
And that posture that makes a free society stronger for the fact that you empower its citizens.
Yes, absolutely. And also, it's a source of our power abroad. I mean, this is something that Americans need to remember, that it's not that foreign policy is a popularity contest. It's not. But a huge source of American power has been that in standing for these values, we have inspired people around the world who were trying to stand up to their governments. We've shaped the aspirations of millions of people who were trying to craft a better life for themselves and their families. That's a source of our power. And if we trample it, we weaken ourselves just as surely as if we were to, you know, have our defense budget.
Anne Marie Slaughter is dean of the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton University, a native of Charlottesville, Virginia, and her new book is The Idea That Is America, Keeping Faith with Our Values in a Dangerous World. Let's talk about the value of faith, and I'm curious why that is in the book. Did you mean specifically religious faith or a broader definition of faith as a core belief that guides a free people?
Well, it's interesting. When I first sketched my values, faith was not one, but very quickly as I started reading, I thought, faith plays such an enormous role in the founders' understanding of what they were doing and in their ability and the ability of generations of Americans to make good on the promise of the founding. And it's a blend. Religious faith is hugely important. But when you go back to the founders, it's not one faith, it's many, right? So back in the 18th century, it was mostly varieties of Christianity. It was different Protestant sects, but also some Jewish groups in Rhode Island and Catholics in Maryland and Protestants in other places. And they had to coexist. And today, I write about the Princeton Baccalaureate Sunday and opening exercises where we have, you know, a Christian reading, but then we have a Muslim reading, and we have a reading from a Hindu scripture and a Buddhist scripture, and America is still a mosaic of many faiths. And alongside those different religious faiths is what I call Enlightenment faith. It is a conviction that it is possible to achieve a political system that has, again, a government of the people, a measure of justice, a measure as much equality as we can achieve, and that believes that those things are the birthright of all human beings. And that's an Enlightenment faith. My argument is that at our very best, religious faith and Enlightenment faith have reinforced one another. Instead of being at odds with one another, as we see so often today, where if you're a believer in the church, somehow you are opposed to the state or vice versa. In fact, at the best moments in our history, we've seen Americans who are deep believers in the faith of their choice, who are also deep believers in the secular values of the Enlightenment.
And they knew that by empowering a government, and not mixing having that wall of separation between church and state, a phrase that coined by Thomas Jefferson, that you both empower the society and you can empower the faith.
Exactly. And that it is not being anti-faith in any way, that it is rather creating a safe space for multiple faiths to practice. And one of the things then I argue is when we stand in the world, instead of seeing us as anti-Islamic or as deeply anti-religious, as hugely materialist, we should actually be presenting a face to the world that embraces multiple faiths, that celebrates what is best in different faiths. That when we look at Islam or at Muslim countries Confucian countries, Hindu countries, we should be saying, you know, we have all those faiths in our country now, and we celebrate what is best in your faith. That's a very important role that America needs to play at a time in the world where religion is once again becoming a hugely divisive force. We can actually stand as a place where it is possible to live in relative harmony. This is not kumbaya land with multiple faiths at once. And that's because we have an Enlightenment belief that everybody should be entitled to worship their particular God.
Anne-Marie Slaughter, she's dean of the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton University, a native of Charlottesville, and her new book is The Idea That Is America, Keeping Faith with Our Values in a Dangerous World. It's been a true honor of mine to talk to you, and I appreciate you joining us.
Well, I've enjoyed every minute, and I'm absolutely delighted to be on WINA.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.